Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Western historical fiction, The Bloody Road of Gold by Michael Shaul Johnson, follows Jack Newman, a determined orphan who finds a home with the Lakota before becoming a U.S. Army scout. Though he marries his childhood sweetheart, his obsession with justice cost him his marriage. Partnering with legends like Calamity Jane and D. Boone May, Jack faces outlaw gangs, hostile Sioux, and deadly stagecoach ambushes. Their daring exploits, 8 shootouts, lynchings, and the defense of a $30,000 gold shipment cement their legacy in the Wild West. Michael was born in 1943 in Maywood, California, is a multi-talented artist, author of numerous historical fiction and fantasy books, with a lifelong passion for painting, sculpting, and storytelling. After moving to Wyoming in 1968, he worked as a telephone repairman and drew inspiration from the region's rich history for this Western novel we're talking about today, The Bloody Road of Gold. A former art editor for Newsreel magazine, Michael also studied at the Colorado Institute of Art and has exhibited in Western museums. He considers himself an ordinary guy who's done some extraordinary adventures. And Michael Shaul Johnson, author of The Bloody Road of Gold, our guest on This Week in America. Michael, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
What a great story you have in this book, and your life is a great story, and we'll talk about that as we go through the interview today. What was the inspiration for writing this particular story? What was it about what you saw that you really wanted to write about and share with the public?
Well, when I moved to Wyoming, I was working for Mountain States Telephone, and I was in that region where all those stage robberies took place, and a lot of our lines followed those old wagon ruts. You know, I'm sure the wagon ruts are still there. Probably 50% of the from the old road.
Yes.
And I used to think about those things, because I was aware of the history of the area, and from time to time, I visited the little museums that were in the area, and when I dig a hole or something, I think, well, I'm going to dig up when I put in a telephone pole, I was thinking I could dig up a treasure. I know there's 3 or 4 of them still lost. I'm not sure that they'll ever be found, you know. But
yes, you tried though. You were out there and you tried to come up with a pot of gold at the bottom of the pole, but you couldn't quite do that. Our guest on This Week in America is Michael Shaul Johnson. His website is wyomingslim.com. The book we're talking about, The Bloody Road of Gold, so many others, and you'll find information on Michael's website. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly. How long have you been interested in Western history? And I guess this goes back to when you were a child, because you were raised out in that area.
Well, when I was young, of course, there was no television. And I lived with my grandma in Idaho. And every Saturday, they would have, they called it the all-free shows, where the Chamber of Commerce put on movies. So the parents would come to town and shop, I guess. And I saw, you know, all the old Westerns like Tom Mix and and Gene Autry and Hopalong Cassidy, I guess, was my favorite. I guess I kind of liked his calming, soothing voice. You know, it was very... He was a very good actor. He was probably the best actor out of the singing cowboys. Maybe him and Tex Ritter was pretty good himself. You know, he was also a good actor.
Well, you mentioned so many names there. For so many of us growing up in that era, we used to watch them on television on Saturday morning. We'd buy the lunchbox with Tex Ritter or Hopalong Cassidy on it, and the thermal mug that went with it to keep our milk cold until lunchtime. So many great memories from that period. What was your favorite out of all the Western movies? Do you have one that really sticks out to you?
I think for singing, I think, excuse me, Tex Ritter was probably the best singer, and my idol probably when I was real young was probably Hopalong Cassidy.
Oh, some great names there.
I really liked them all, you know. I was kind of, I remember when they introduced Roy Rogers as the King of the Cowboys, and I thought, who made him king, you know? You know, these other guys are just as good as he is, you know. And, you know, it was just a kid thing, I guess.
Well, yes, self-appointed king of the Cowboys. But you mentioned some really extraordinary people there. And in the story, you've got Jack, and he is with Calamity Jane, and D. Boone May, who you say may be one of the best lawmen ever, but not as well known. I had never heard that name before.
I know, that's too bad, because the people that blew their own horns, like Wyatt Earp and those kind of guys, received all the press, and the real heroes like D. Boone May and Seth Bullock, they were busy doing the, you know, D. Boone May probably killed 25 or 30 bad guys, you know, well, way more than any of those other guys, you know, even Wild Bill Hickok, you know, he killed maybe three or four bad guys, and he accidentally killed his own partner, his own deputy.
Those were wild times. Every time I watch now an old Western, and we had the Western movie channel here, the Cowboy Channel, and sometimes we would see those movies there, and it's like life could be ended at any moment, couldn't it? I mean, everybody's walking around with a gun. They had no tolerance for most other people. You could be in a gunfight, it seemed like, just about any time of the day.
Yeah, that was a Hollywood creation, the fast draw thing and all that.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, Miss Kitty always asked for for Matt Dillon to come and save her from the bad guys in the bar and all that. My great-grandpa was a bartender in Nebraska in the 1800s, late 1800s. And my grandpa said he used to come home, especially on Saturday night, with a torn shirt and blood on it and all that stuff. They took care of their own duties, and there wasn't near as much. There was hardly any gunplay like there is depicted in Hollywood, you know.
Yeah, you see Yeah, the movies and the old TV series and the old TV shows. It was one action-packed shootout after another. Stagecoach, how frequently were the stagecoaches ambushed? And I say that because every time you would see a stagecoach come into the shot as you're watching a movie or a TV series, you're thinking, oh, something bad's going to happen. How many, was it actually that frequently that they were ambushed?
Well, the one that was done the most was that one from Cheyenne to Deadwood, because it was there was no railroad, and it was the only way they could get the gold from the mines in South Dakota to the railhead in Cheyenne. You know, there was other robberies in Arizona and California, but not near to the extent. I think there was 150 some on the Cheyenne Deadwood stage, and, you know, 30 or 40 in California and Arizona. I don't know about other states, but there was a lot of robberies.
Well, and you bring them all to life. The book we're talking about specifically, but just one of many that's been written by Michael, is The Bloody Road of Gold. You'll see all of the books at Michael's website. It's WyomingSlim.com. At our website, thisweekinamerica.us, log on to his site directly. Information on this book and all of the others, and again, it's WyomingSlim.com. Want to talk a little bit about growing up. You describe your childhood, because you were, you talk of sort of timid as you're growing up, and as a young boy, you're homeless for a period of time. You are traveling across the Mojave Desert. Talk about a very interesting childhood, didn't you?
Well, my dad left the family when I was a year old, and my mom was pregnant with my sister. And I bounced around the L.A. area with various homes, you know, and finally ended up in my grandma's in Idaho, which was probably the best time of my whole childhood, because when I went back to California, my mom had married someone who didn't particularly like me or want me in the family. So by the time I was 13 years old, I was going back up to Idaho and doing farm work. I worked with the Mexicans and the Okies, and we did all manner of labor besides milking cows on my uncle's farm. But then when I left home, after I graduated from high school, my plans were to be in the Air Force as a navigator, and I couldn't pass the physical. And I went back home, and my stepdad more or less told me to get out. So
wow.
I left, and I bummed around Nevada and California, mostly the Mojave Desert, and worked on different ranches, and I'd sweep out a cafe or something to get a meal, you know. Sometimes I went a while without eating, you know. It wasn't fun.
No, and you came out of that, and I'm sure so much of many of the stories, the reflections are because of your life and what you did growing up, and growing up in that particular region of the country. It's just an amazing story. And a lot of that is in Michael's other books. So if you go to WyomingSlim.com, or if you're going to Amazon, just click on his name and you'll see all the books there. And you'll, it's like a history lesson through Michael's eyes and all the books that he has written. Let's talk about how this writing started. What was it about writing that you were, and storytelling, that you really liked, and you do it so well? When did that all begin for you?
Well, after years ago, when I retired, I wrote my life story, and I don't know, I rewrote that so many times, and got me in trouble a few times with other members of the family and stuff, you know. Say things you probably shouldn't say and stuff. But anyway, I thought, I'm going to just do things that are happy, you know. And I probably wrote maybe 50 short stories. And short stories are a lot easier to write than a big long one.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's, you get to the point make your story. I just enjoyed writing one about the sheep eater Indians that were in Yellowstone National Park that are now extinct. And I was really fascinated by them when I worked there, because they were a great tribe of Indians, and they had 78 tribes or something, 28 tribes, I think it was. And they were able to live there in peace, and they were one of the few tribes that ever defeated the Sioux. The Sioux tried to take them over, and they rolled boulders down on them and stuff, and survived that. But they couldn't survive the National Park Service. And not only that, they brought smallpox and killed off probably three-fourths of them. And most of the account, it was kind of, it's kind of hard story to tell because so little's known about them because they died before, died off. Yes. They were extinct before the, and most of the accounts were by this 115-year-old woman survivor. And she was very alert, and she told the story to this Dr. Allen, which was very interesting to me, and I thought it might be interesting to other people. But I included it in my Christmas book this year. I write a Christmas book every year, and so I included that one in there. In order to publish it with Kindle, you have to put you have to get 75 pages, so you have to add. You know, it has to add up to 75 or you can't publish.
And all those books are available, as I say, on Michael's website, which is wyomingslim.com. And Christmas books there, a great time of year to read those, to give those to people. Great gift ideas. Michael Shaw Johnson, his website is wyomingslim.com. You had to have a horse. Tell me the horse story. And I understand working for the phone company, you were riding horses.
Well, we started when I worked in Yellowstone. We had to rent horses to go up to the fire lookouts on the old. We had old open wire telephone lines up there. The Park Service wouldn't allow roads or anything, and they wouldn't allow you to drive anywhere off the roads. And so you had to rent horses, and it was an interesting experience. You know, the first time I went up there, I was in charge of getting things together, and my buddy was in charge of getting the food, and we got up on top of the mountain, and all we had was 2 six-packs of beer. And I learned a lesson there. I always, after that, I always carried food in my pockets and stuff. I didn't rely on anybody else, you know. He enjoyed his beer, and he told me that everything I needed for nutrition was in that can of beer. But I was pretty hungry. I wasn't too happy about it, but, you know, I guess that's part of life. Then you learn about the horses. They try to rub you off on trees, and they, you know, you have to be the boss, and they want to go back to their home all the time, you know, their stable, but. It was interesting, and, you know, and I did a lot of things like that, and it taught me about horses that, you know, I see in a movie where they do things that are, you know, that like they ride up to they've been riding across the desert all day, and they ride up to a place to get some water, and the horses just stand there, they don't even run to the water. As thirsty as they would be, you know,
Yeah, I'm sure you get a different perspective, especially now when you look back at some of the old television shows and the old movies. Who inspired you as a writer? Were there authors that focused on the West that you enjoyed reading?
But when I was young, I thought Fane Gray was a good writer, but as I'm older now, I've reread some of his stuff, and he really overly describes stuff sometimes. But anyway, I really like Steinbeck and Mark Twain, and I think *Grapes of Wrath* is probably one of the great books. You know, one of my favorite.
You know, go ahead, please.
I love Mark Twain. You know, he's very very well, you know, versed in comedy writing. You know,
yes,
and humor, great sense of humor.
Some of those have really held up with the test of time here, and their books are still actually magnificent works of art. A few minutes left in the program. I want to go back to talk about this telephone company thing. And we see people working, you know, telephone man, repair man, or whatever. We see them on the paved road, and they've got the lift and the whole thing. That wasn't the case with you. In fact, you've talked about the story where you had the Cheyenne River. You had to pull a telephone pole out of the river by yourself, and it weighed probably 1,000 pounds, if not more.
Yeah, the river, the banks of the river were about 30 feet high, and every so often the bank would cave in, you know, and finally it got close enough to our pole line that one of the poles went in the river, and I had to winch it out of the river. I had a winch on my truck. And I got it out of the river and got it up back up on the cliff and reset it. And my boss would always give me a hard time because I wasn't supposed to set poles. I was supposed to turn it into construction. But when I did that, it never got done. You know, it was one of those things that never got done.
Yes.
And the cows would get tangled up in the lines and or horses or whatever, you know. And so I'd put the pole, you know, I got poles from the company and stocked them in my yard. And then the boss complained because I had to have my ladder rack welded because the weight of the poles would wear them out, you know, going across the prairie, carrying a big telephone pole on there, It wasn't too good on the ladder racks, and so I had to have those repaired. How come you always have to have your ladder rack repaired? Well, but I set a lot of poles. I probably, when I was there, I probably set 25 or 30 poles myself, you know.
Wow, that's just what an incredible story. And all of Michael's books, and you'll find all of them listed in WyomingSlim.com, the website, give you a glimpse of what it was like in the Old West. Like I say, it's like a history lesson by going along with Michael as he tells all of these stories. This book is The Bloody Road of Gold. It's available wherever books are sold. It's the story of Jack Newman and all that he goes through, the shootouts, the lynchings, the gold shipment being on a stagecoach that gets ambushed. All of that comes to life in Jack's books, and in this one in particular, The Bloody Road of Gold. What are you working on now? Are there other books that you're working on?
Well, right now I'm redoing some of the covers, and I just wrote three stories for my Christmas book, and that's all I wrote so far this time. But I do all my own book covers, and sometimes I'm not happy with them and I redo them, you know. Some of them got several covers on them.
Well, you're very talented. I mentioned your lifelong passion for painting, for sculpting, and for storytelling, and a marvelous storyteller. And as books bring the Old West, they bring them to life. And you have so many memories as you're reading the stories and see names that you're familiar with and growing up. This book in particular, The Bloody Road of Gold, is just an incredible story. You won't put it down. You'll keep turning the page and get through it and enjoy it. Michael, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. What a career you've had. You mentioned an ordinary guy that's done extraordinary things, and you really have done that, and you bring the Old West to life in your books. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Oh, thank you for the interview. I enjoyed it.
It has been fun. I want to thank Reader's Magnet, the self-publishing marketing company, for their assistance with Reader's Magnet. It's all about your story, assisting aspiring and veteran authors in fulfilling their dreams. Their website, readersmagnet.com. All of this information on Michael available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. His name, Michael Shaw Johnson. The website is WyomingSlim.com, and you're listening to This Week in America, and there's more on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.